Good morning, good morning. If you're out in the foyer, if you can make your way in, that'd be awesome. I want to welcome each one of you here this morning. I know we come from different churches. We got Markham here, we have Gormley and Eastridge. It's great that we can all come together as the body of Christ and remember his sacrifice today. So I just want to welcome you here this morning. I'm going to invite you to stand if you are able for our call to worship. Come, let us gather again in the shadow of the cross of Christ. We gather to remember the overwhelming evidence of love's ultimate sacrifice. Who would have guessed that the height and depth, the length and width of God's love might look like this, a forsaken Savior on a cross? Certainly not us. Not us who are too often lost amid the world's distractions and responsibilities. Not us for whom such love was offered. Let us gather again in the shadow of the cross of Christ and commit ourselves to remember the price paid. Let us live our lives in a way that indicates why this Friday is called good. Thanks be to God who sacrificed Christ, who brought Christ to be sacrificed for our salvation. Heavenly Father, we thank you just that you sent your Son to die for each one of us, God. That his blood purifies us, makes us clean. God, that you wanted each one of us, that you sent your son to die just to proclaim your love for us and to bring us back to you. So today we remember your sacrifice, Jesus, and thank you for that. In your name we pray. Amen.
Praise is rising, eyes are turning to you, we turn to you.
Somebody reading scripture number one. I can keep playing.
Got back late last night. John 14 says, you may be seated. There you go. Thank you. Oh. John 14 says this, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father.
Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 15 to 26. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I'm in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you.
Today on Good Friday, we remember what Jesus did on the cross. We remember, we're going to sing a song called Beautiful One, and you think about some of the things we think are beautiful that first come to mind, but there's really nothing more beautiful than the cross, and what Christ did for us. If you want to stand.
No eye has seen, no ear
heart with this love. 'Cause nothing on earth is as beautiful as you. This love, 'cause nothing on earth is as beautiful as you.
Amazing grace.
Who brings the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King of all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Who leads us breathless in all
John chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples.
In John chapter 16, beginning at verse 5, Jesus said these words, "But now I'm going away to the one who sent me, and not one of you is asking where I'm going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin, and of God's righteousness in the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. There is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said, the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me."
In the early church, there wasn't much that was written down, and most people probably couldn't read it anyways. One of the things that probably any of them could be pointed to and visualize was what a cross was and what the death, that kind of death entailed. As the Romans, that was one of their common ways of punishing people who did wrong, and some people who did right, who they got it wrong. And that would be our Jesus. This is called the Creed, and it's based on one of the early creeds. So despite the fact that the early Christians maybe couldn't read, they could memorize and they could recite and get it in their heart and picture the cross, picture what Christ has done for them.
I believe in the Holy Spirit. John 17 records Jesus' prayer for his disciples and by extension
Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began.
I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they have accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be the one, as that they may be one as we are one. And while I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name that you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the word has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Let's bow for prayer. Father, on this day in which we remember the ultimate sacrifice, we come humbly, but we come with great thanks. Father, for in that tragic moment in which your Son was taken, we have been given the opportunity of forgiveness and life. Father, you came through your Son into a world that was broken, and we live in a world that is broken. And Father, you, through Jesus, were broken on that cross, that you might bring wholeness and life and renewal. And Father, as we celebrate together the elements of communion, we do remember the sacrifice of your Son. We ask, Father, that you would speak deeply into our hearts to understand the full measure of the cost of our salvation. And then, Father, might we rejoice in the great love that brought us to the place that we might have life in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Three years of ministry. Three years of time with people. And Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, shaped the fabric of the world that he lived in. 3 years of teaching, of sharing, of imparting, of providing, of counseling, of confronting, and of calling. And it really makes you wonder, what can you actually get done in 3 years nowadays? Taking your time through a college degree, paying off half a car loan, Yet Jesus, in this 3 years, impacted the world in which he lived in so deeply that thousands of years later, millions of people gathered together on this day to remember what it is that he did. Scripture gives us our guidance. Scripture gives us the picture of the history of what Jesus has done and the lessons that each pastor has read for us today of what the Holy Spirit meant for us to live in relationship to the Lord. For today, we are blessed not to have to commit every word to our hearts, for we have the Holy Scriptures in the palm of our hand, in our pockets, on our phones, and in verses that we have stowed upon away in our heart. We have the living history of God on earth, a history that has been saved through the work of the Spirit, through books that have been assembled, and even as archaeology shows us today, is just as accurate as the day in which it was written down. It is the history and truth of Jesus for us. The life that Jesus led had one purpose: to bring in his ministry an opportunity to come to know the Lord in a more deep way. Through all of Scripture, we receive these moments of being imparted a special glimpse into aspects of how God showed himself to us. Brief glimpses of the divine so we could understand ourselves in who we are and in how we live, in light of the one who made us, the one who saved us, and the one who sustains us. And Scripture shows us so much of how Jesus sought for us to live by understanding and knowing that Jesus is the one way. Such a foreign concept for the world that we live in, where truth is what you make of it and what's okay for you is fine for you but not for me. In a world that continues to rant about the need for religious freedom, but it really actually means freedom from any religion or faith practice. That we know and we can rely on the fact that what Jesus said is true, and he has shown us who the Father is. That Christ in his life and in his ministry with us will never forsake us. That this is a permanent connection that God made, having made us in his image, to each and every human that is living and has lived. And this isn't something that can be ignored or broken, but is something that resides in the heart of who we are and how we have been made. And that our lives are rooted in Jesus, and living in light of how he calls upon us and how he leads us and how he provides us opportunities to exercise the faith that he has given us. We find ourselves bearing fruit, being successful in the call that he's given us and expanding the kingdom around us. And as we look through Scripture and as we look back, we have the blessing of knowing the end before they did. That God sent his Holy Spirit, his presence on earth to us, to be an advocate on our behalf, to be a resource in power and in presence and in hope for the world around us. And that Jesus, in his death, made this moment possible. That on this day, each and every one of you, as a greater part of the EMC family, could come together to remember, to give thanks, and to honor God for how he so deeply and intentionally provided for us. Because this is the truth that Christ has left us with: that he is a living God who is alive in the world we live in. But it's amazing how many people don't realize the gift of what God is. How many people, and for some of us in our own families, who have never had the opportunity to recognize the life that comes through Jesus. Have you ever seen a picture of a diamond in its raw form? I'm sure if any one of us found one in the parking lot, we'd kick it aside, not realizing what it actually is or the worth that it has. And so Jesus is in the world around us, a diamond that, due to the sin, due to the struggles and the pain that people experience, they're unable to see just the joy and completeness that can come in relationship with Him. And today, as we come before the table to take some time to remember, our eyes are open to what the Lord has accomplished. And as we come to the table, we know that it's not only worth recognizing, it's not simply a practice of memorializing in tradition, but it's worth celebrating. And in concept, that's a really strange thing to celebrate. To celebrate the capital punishment of a man who is guilty of no crime. To be thankful for the torture and trauma that Jesus went through in his physical body in his last hours. But celebrating what Jesus did on the cross is the heart of how the Lord does ministry, of how he lives in the community of the world he created. He seeks to always redeem the lost, to fix the broken, to move what needs to be moved, and to heal what is ready and willing to be healed. As we come to the table today, we celebrate both the body and the blood of Jesus. And this came through what was broken, the human body of Jesus. And so, just as so, Jesus took the cup and gave us a new picture of what life would be like. We invite those who are serving to come forward at this time. And as we distribute the bread this morning, let's take a few moments and just let ruminate in our hearts what Christ has done. Let us be reminded and let sit the weight of what Jesus knew he was walking into in those last moments. Let us just sit in the presence of the Holy Spirit and think of the fact that when Jesus' body was broken, it was broken for each and every one of us. as we hold in our hands the gluten-free symbol of the broken body of Jesus, the truth comes plainly as we can see that the Lord has provided through this a freedom from death, a freedom from ever having to be separated from the Creator who made us. And as we take, let our hearts be full with grace and thanksgiving for what Jesus willingly gave for us. Let's eat together. In the same way, after supper, Jesus took a cup of wine, the cup likely that he had been using through the whole meal. Not likely a golden chalice, but a wooden bowl. And in this moment, Jesus reimagined for us fellowship from God. Jesus let the ropes off of humanity that had once held them in place of how to attain a righteous life through what they could accomplish by following the law. He made access to the Creator easy and allowed God to do the work to heal us through the coming of the Holy Spirit. As Scripture says, in the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And in that moment, the law was fulfilled. The law was set aside. And Jesus gave us this symbol of a new and permanent promise of how we can know the Creator, of how we can find ourselves in the light of who he made us to be. As we sit today with the cup in our hand, we're reminded of the sacrifice that God did. Let's think and let rest on our heart that God changed the fabric of the universe. He broke every structure and framework to bring you back to him.
Thank you.
Thank you, Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit until the work was done. For Christ's blood was shed for each of us, for this moment, so that any and all who would repent and believe may come to know Jesus as Lord. Let's drink together. Dear Father God, today we sing about you. We lift our praise to you, for you are the beautiful one. And Lord, we love you because you first loved us and you sent your Son so that we may know him. We thank you for the amazing gift that you have given us through your love and grace that have been made available for any and all who believe. That we would be changed, that we would be called upon and renewed and healed, that we could put aside the brokenness and experience a joy no matter what happens in our lives that comes from you. Lord, you are the Father everlasting and the one who gave us the Holy Spirit and a single baptism and a communion to remember. Lord, in this moment, we thank you for the cross. The wondrous cross, the cross you redeemed and reclaimed to be something beautiful and life-giving instead of the instrument that it was to take life. And Lord, we come before you and sing and give thanks for all of this that has been made available through the Son you sent, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. In Christ alone we pray. Amen.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid.
Here in the power of Christ I stand.
to be the person that God intended you to be. In His name, amen. Thank you for coming. Bless the Lord.